Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
So, I had a series and I still have it. And what I've learned, they will keep. I've got a good series that I'm waiting. I'll probably start it next week, but maybe not. You know what I mean? I'm the pastor. I can decide. And so a few weeks ago, I came across these videos, and they were so interesting, and they're usually used in a business model. We've used them in school and that kind of stuff. And so when I see things like that, I call it backdoor Bible because it's full of biblical truth. It just doesn't use any scripture. And so I played one. We did one a couple of weeks ago, Above and Below the Line. And you just have to get the tape, or it's online. You can figure out where all that's at. And then last week we did the triangle, the drama triangle. And it was, I had a good time. I hope you did too. And today I want to do one more. It's called The Hidden Iceberg. And so, Austin, why don't you roll that thing and take it?
What's Your Hidden Iceberg? Brought to you by the Conscious Leadership Group. Find us on the web at www.conscious.is. Commitment number one of the 15 commitments is the commitment to take radical responsibility and end blame and criticism. Radical responsibility is a willingness to pay attention to results, not words, to the results that are actually occurring in your life, rather than what you say you want. Most people believe you can tell what you're committed to by what you say. For example, we hear leaders say they're committed to build a world-class team, have a great culture, lead their industry in innovation, be a great parent, partner, friend, or leader, get back in shape, have balance in their life. On and on the list goes, telling yourself and everyone else what it is that you want, what you say you're committed to. When we talk to these leaders, they tell us that what they say they want is not what they're actually creating. Their team is not aligned and engaged. Their culture still has toxic sludge. They haven't had the breakthrough innovation they want. They're not living up to their own expectations as a parent, partner, friend, or leader. They're 15 pounds overweight. They are overwhelmed and don't have life balance. Most leaders want to talk to us about how they can get what they say they want, what they say they're committed to. In our experience, having that conversation is not practicing radical responsibility. There is another, more important conversation. Let us explain. This is an iceberg. 1/4 of the iceberg is above the water and 3/4 is below. What's below the water is most significant. The same is true about conscious leadership. What's above the water for a conscious leader is what you say. What's below the water are your results, what is actually occurring. What's above the water is your conscious desire, and what's below the water is your unconscious commitment. Psychology has known for a long time that the unconscious is powerful. Really powerful. They have debated how to discover what is in the unconscious. Conscious leaders are willing to take a shortcut to discover their unconscious commitments. They simply look at the results of their lives and own them. So if you hear yourself saying, I want balance in my life, you're above the water, conscious desire, and what is actually occurring is that you haven't taken time off for 6 months, and you're frazzled and burning out, you're below the water, unconscious commitment. You stop believing your words and start owning your results. In practice, this is simply saying to yourself and those around you, I'm unconsciously committed to not taking time off, being frazzled, and burning out while telling the world I want balance. This is radical responsibility, and it shifts the whole game. You stop complaining and start owning. Now that you have owned your unconscious commitment, you can examine it by asking wonder questions from genuine curiosity like, how is this pattern familiar? How do you keep this pattern going? What do you get from keeping this pattern going? We've never met anyone who isn't getting some positive payoff from their unconscious commitments. Another question is, the lifelong pattern you're noticing is, what is the action step I could take to be 100% responsible for this issue? When you and others around you take radical responsibility for your unconscious commitments, you'll create breakthrough insights and solutions that will stop your issues from continuing to recycle. So, what's your hidden iceberg?
Pastor, that video was too fast. I didn't get it all. We're going to play it again at the end. And you can go online and watch it anytime you want to. Radical responsibility. It's stop the blame and taking responsibility for the results in your life. It just staggers me. It floors me. We have a drug problem in our country, and we blame the South American cartel. Now that we got El Chapo, all right. Really? Don't even get me started. We have a violence problem, and we blame gun manufacturers. And I'm not going there. That's as far as I'm going, so the rest of you guys just settle down. I'm not going there. Isn't it amazing? We have a lust problem and blame the pretty girls. Okay, just get back to preaching. Okay, I understand that, but we won't go there. See, and most people will argue their commitments and what this thing says by what they say. Well, I tell you what, and then, you know, and they'll go on and on and on, but really, you know what you're committed to by the results you're getting. And so we're gonna have a little fun with that. We think it's our intentions, but it's really I don't want to go subconscious and I don't want to go to Freud and all that kind of stuff, but I think there are things working in our lives that are positive or negative. I think there are things and principles that work in your life, that work in my life, that I learned as a child about how to live, and they're just unconscious things that make or break you. And I think there could be some positive things. Matter of fact, it builds into my series. I want to talk about the temptations of Christ in a week or so. We'll see when we get that. But let's talk today. Number one in your hand out there, the hidden iceberg of your life is usually denial. We've teased before, I've teased before, you can only live on the big bone thing so long, and at some point you have to admit that I need to go on a diet. You can blame the credit card company, you can blame credit, you can blame interest, you can blame whatever you want to, but if you're overspending, that it's not the credit card's fault, it's denial. And I think most of the time we're honestly deceived. It's not like we just won't admit the truth. We've honest deception comes, and so I think the Lord, and I think God's behind it, arranges circumstances for us so that we can see what we've really been doing. Have you heard my old expression? God will fix a fix to fix you. If you fix the fix before you fix, he'll fix another fix to fix you. Don't even try to remember that. That's for a later time. But it's denial. Galatians 6 is all about that. And I put ABC down there because I didn't want to take the verses apart. There's several things I want to say. So A, don't be misled. God, no one makes a fool of God. Who was ever floored at how gullible your parents were? I used to say, when we were sitting, I was a little kid, and I said, Mom, you know, we were all sitting around the table eating. I said, if the house caught on fire, I would take the Bible out the first. And my sisters would stare daggers at me. And my mom would say, oh, that's just precious. That's just wonderful. You girls ought to be like that. And I thought, suckers. Remember the stories you told your parents? Well, I thought it was a Bible study that I was going there. And when they brought that alcohol, I thought it was communion. And then the cops came and I didn't even know what was going on. And here I am. Well, you just wait there, little Sonny, and I'll be right down there and fix it up for you. And you'd say to yourselves, my word. Whoever thought your parents were stupid? Or your employer? You give them all 411 reasons why you can't be there. And they say, well, child, hope you're feeling better the day after Super Bowl Sunday. And you say to yourself, how naive can people be? So Paul says, God's not naive. You might fool your mama, you might fool your daddy. You're not going to fool the Lord. Don't be deceived. God, you can't pull one over on the Lord. What a person plants, he will harvest. Remember, it's direction, not intention, that determines destination. It's direction, not intention, that determines destination. If you want to go there, you're not going to get there by going there. But no, it's my heart's desire to be over there. No, you're going this way. And I don't care what you think, what you say, how you feel, how your mama used to talk to you, it used to be. If you're going to get there, you better be going that direction. It's direction, not intention, that determines your destination. And what a person plants, he will harvest. This is a principle. It's the principle, not a karma. This is not karma. These are principles. the terrible things that happened in Dallas. It's not because those five that were killed and the 11 that were shot did something wrong. This is not life paying them back. No, no, no. Terrorism happens to all kinds of people. So I'm not saying that everything that happens is consequence. These are principles that I'm talking about. Whatever a person sows, that shall he also reap. Letter C here. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvest a crop of weeds, all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. Now, I got an illustration. You're going to wonder who I pay to do my props. How many of you know I emptied this bag because I realized 65 pounds is more than 60 pounds used to be? How many of you know what I'm saying? Anyway, if you planted, see, this is flower seeds. And if you went through the store and the nice person at the Home Depot says, these are flower seeds, and then you went and planted them on your little garden and you watered them and you fertilized it, and then maybe a season later, maybe next summer, you're crying and crying, I don't know what happened. And then us old timers would come around and we would see the kind of bag this is, and I would say, well, what happened? I planted these flower seeds and it never grew. Because I'm a nice guy, I would not say, you moron, what are you thinking? I would say, those aren't flower seeds. It's sand. And I don't care how much sand you plant, it's not going to grow, my friend. It just won't happen. So what you might do is you would realize I'm an old guy. And so what you would do is go get new and improved flower seeds. The ones with the branding. The ones with the branding. These are flowers, by the way. Man, who does his props? And Pastor, these are 100% guaranteed. There's a guarantee with these. And I would say, who told you that? No, they guaranteed them from the factory. These are new and improved. It's not like old school flower seeds. Those old school really didn't work. They were created by people not that intelligent, not that well educated. And so you might plant your new and improved flower seeds, and when it doesn't grow, you are crying the blues, and someone would come along and say, it's not flower seeds, it's play sand. And after buying this at $4 a bag, I realized we're in the wrong business, people. Those people are selling us sand at $4 a bag. Now, you can might think it's flower seeds, and you could have been told it was flower seeds. Your mama might have told you that this is flower seeds, but when you plant this, it's not going to grow. I don't care how sincere you are. So Paul is talking in Galatians about how to understand what you're planting. You plant weeds, you plant selfishness, you're going to have weeds. See, it doesn't matter the intention. The label doesn't matter. The content really does. Letter number D, the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth, work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. Requires some sort of trust in the one who's I'm getting the seed from. Somebody would trust some Home Depot guy that it's the right kind of seed. Letter E, at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. See, I think this works positively and negatively. I think there are some things that are worked into our lives that are conscious and some that are unconscious. They're mindsets. They're negative traits. They're seeing the world is out in a negative, and it's not even a conscious thought. And you wonder why doors don't open. You wonder why things don't happen. And there's some things that in the area of temptation that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks there are some habits that people have learned to just avoid the setbacks because it will absolutely kill you. And other people just go plant sand like it's going to grow. And you want to say, what are you thinking? So he says, you will harvest if you give it enough time. See, if people unconsciously committed to bad results. They're married, they get divorced, they marry somebody else just like the gal that they divorced. She marries another one just like the one that left her. And you wonder, how does that happen? And no one does those kinds of things on purpose. I'm telling you guys, there are unconscious decisions that we're pre-programmed to make. And if you don't think about that, process that, and, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord. No, it doesn't work that way. God brings things into your life to show you where you miss it. Are you still with me? Okay. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And look at what he tags at the end of it there. Deceiving yourselves. If you get sick, you might feel really good that you went to the doctor and were diagnosed and they gave you the medicine. And somebody says, how are you doing? They said, I'm not any better. How come? What, did you take the medicine? No, but I've got it right here. And you want to say, and we laugh. You're kidding me. Who's ever bought the little exercise equipment, the exercise clothes, the tennis shoes? I've got a treadmill, an expensive treadmill that I bought. And now we use it to hang our clothes on. Sorry. So really, I think the issue is denial. There's four certainties of the harvest. They're right there in your bulletin. You always reap what you sow. You always do. People do. You're not responsible for your kids. They're going to reap their own stuff, and they'll sow it. Number two, you always reap more than you sow. This goes good and bad. Good and bad. You give a little mercy, man, you get a lot back. You give a little judgment, and people criticize you all the time. I know people always feeling criticized, and I think, you probably are a critical person. Did I say that? I didn't mean to say that. You always reap more than you sow. Number three, you always reap in a different season that you sow. You're not going to plant something and get it back tomorrow. It's another season. It's going to be more in another season. So negative or positive, guys. I'm hoping I'm talking positive to you. You plant something of righteousness. You plant money that way. You don't get it back the next day. You get it back in another season. And you get it back hopefully with interest. Number four, to change what you reap, you must change what you sow. The only way I'm going to change my life and what I'm harvesting is to change what I'm sowing. It's delusional. It is not Christian. It is not miraculous to think you can sow one thing and reap another. That's just not true. You with me so far? Number two, commitments aren't measured in words, but in results. Isn't that interesting? They're not measured in words. It's your unconscious decisions. It's kind of reaping havoc for some of you. Reaping those opportunities just aren't there. You just can't make money in this kind of economy. I don't have the right circumstance, and I don't have this, and blame. It's not measured in words, it's measured in results. Jesus says this well. In Matthew 7:24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had the foundation of the rock. Now, what is the rock foundation? Jesus. No, I tell you, the rock is hearing what he says and doing it. Yes, the rock is Jesus, but the person, the wise man, is not just the person that heard the thing, maybe read it, but did something with it. It's the knowing-doing gap. A buddy of mine said one time, let's go to a conference. And I said, man, I'm not going to another conference. I'm not even doing what I know to do. Why would I go learn something new to do, to not do? Boy, you guys are just really looking at me. And I'm going to believe because it's so such profound truth that you're taking it all in. Tell yourself that. I do. Anyway, it's he that hears my words, Jesus says, and acts on them. You remember as a little child, anybody, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built it. How'd it go? House upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Who remembers that song? All right, you went to Sunday school. Good for you. The rains came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and the floods came up. I got to finish it now. The rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. Now the next one. Jesus continues his story. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. If you're not going to do something with it, it doesn't do you any good. You can have medicine in your pocket, but it doesn't make you better. It's like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the floods came up. The streams arose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. Another translation says, and great was the fall thereof. Because the guy heard things, knew he ought to do them, but didn't make any life changes, didn't make any attitudinal changes, didn't do anything about what he was learning. And so it's like an idiot that builds his house on the sand. It's a sandcastle. The rains come, the winds blow, and they always do. And the house fell down. And he says, why? Why? I went to church every Sunday. Oh, you might have heard something, but you didn't do it. So God, in his mercy, in his incredible love, takes us through different life processes that we can see what is really not working. Do you like the results you have? And you may really like them. See, I think that's where God's faithfulness. You do the right thing for long enough time, and God's blessing overtakes you. And you say, wow, I did a little good, but I harvested a whole lot more than I did. Yep, you sure did. That's how that works. You always get more back than you gave. I'm not a rocket scientist, so I have learned that I'm going to give good stuff to people. I'm going to give mercy. I'm going to give forgiveness. I'm going to give hope because I know what I give out comes back to me. It's a miracle. It's because God loves you. No. It's a matter of sowing and reaping. That's just how that works. Maybe we could spend our lives encouraging one another. And you may not be so depressed all the time. Maybe it would come back to you with hope and encouragement. I'm just saying, think about it. 5 steps to expose the icebergs in your life. And again, I told you I was going to play the tape again. We'll watch it again in a bit. 5 steps. These are my steps. Maybe there's 10 steps, but these are the 5 I came up with. Letter A, stop believing your words and start owning your results. Stop believing your words. You know, we all say how spiritual we are and how much we trust God and all that kind of stuff. Fine, great. That's good to say. But stop believing your words and start owning your results. I have to take responsibility for where I'm at, for what I'm getting. Well, Pastor, it's the government's fault, and it is the job's fault, and it's the denomination's fault, and it's... Okay, then go ahead and say that. You're not owning your results. Talk is cheap. Letter A, stop believing your words and start owning your results. Number 2, what life-wide, I'm not sure that's a word, but I made it one. What life-wide unconscious commitments am I following? What we talked about last week, the patterns. Am I trying to be a hero where you're giving temporary relief to people? And am I trying to be the villain and I'm blaming everybody all the time? Is my life pattern kind of a victim where I never got a chance and no one will help me and no one will give me an offer? Is that your life weight pattern? You need to stop and look at that. Or am I a coach and I'm helping whoever I can? Blessing whoever I can. You know, my son took a very small church in East Mesa. And at the same time, we invited a church to start a church right in our school building right next door. Now, I didn't do that, but there is a blessing that goes with it. If I will help somebody else, there are folks that have gone to Jeff's church and helping him. Duh, do you think it works that way? It works that way. The little lecture hall where we used to meet upstairs, there's a great little church up there. They're just getting started, and they get to use that building in one of the classrooms, and they're doing just what we did a year and a half or so ago, and they think they died and went to heaven. Of course, we get rent. Don't somebody report me. But it works that way. So look at your patterns, guys. Look at your patterns of relationships. Do you remember every time somebody did something wrong to you? Your spouse, yeah, I remember you did that 3 years ago. My word. So you're one that holds others accountable for the sins they've committed. And then you wonder why you feel condemned by God. God says, I've forgiven you. And when you can forgive others, you'll sense that. I'm not helping them. I'll tell you what, they need to just go get it on their own. Okay, then you're probably going to wonder why people don't help you. In your hour of need, where were they? Isn't this a wonderful little series we're in? Letter C. How do I perpetuate these familiar patterns? See, what role am I playing? What role do I play here? Is this a unconscious decision that I'm just jumping into a role that I've always... How do I perpetuate these things? In a positive way. How is a mindset that I have making things happen for people? And in turn, things happen for me. How much time and energy am I spending lifting other people up, giving other people a hand, an opportunity, a door, an open door? How much time am I spending there? What am I doing to perpetuate where I'm at today? It's not that you arrive someplace and say, well, I guess I made it. No, no, no. You don't arrive till you breathe your last and stand before Jesus. And hopefully he says, well done. I think that's how life works, guys. I really do. Scripture was full of it. Business people discover it. It's there. Letter D. What is the payoff of these unconscious commitments? What are you getting out of this? See, to people who feel like they need to be a hero, it's that admiration. Oh, just couldn't have done it without you, Pastor. Oh, well. What's the payoff? What's the payoff? Is everybody going to really like you? Or they're going to feel so sorry for you. Poor you. You've had it so rough. Oh, I'm so sad for you. Well, I guess does anybody know what I'm talking about? What are you getting out of this deal? Maybe you really want people to feel sorry for you. And so you know how to roll out that victim's role. And maybe you want people to think you're really smart, so you blame everybody and criticize everybody else. Because there's this huge unconscious need that you have to be important. To be right. Think about maybe that's how you were raised. I know people that are raised, they couldn't be wrong. They didn't have to be right. They just couldn't be wrong. So they couldn't make a decision. Could not pull the trigger. It was ready, aim, 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 and they never could fire. So what's the payoff? Maybe the legacy you're leaving. Good things. That's the payoff. That's a good payoff. Letter E. What action steps can I take for my unconscious actions? What can I do? First of all, you got to look at it. And I think you ask the Lord to help you. Invite Jesus into that conversation. What action steps can you take today? Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. If you wait for perfect conditions till things are just right, how many know tomorrow never comes? So if you're going to wait until you can finally get things arranged, then you'll start. It'll probably never happen. The wisest man in the world says, if you wait for perfect conditions, it'll never happen for you. So I want to play the video again. Micah, John, Rochelle, come back up, and let's roll that video again, and then I'll make some more comments, and we'll go home.
What's Your Hidden Iceberg? Brought to you by the Conscious Leadership Group. Find us on the web at www.conscious.is. Commitment number one of the 15 commitments is the commitment to take radical responsibility and end blame and criticism. Radical responsibility is a willingness to pay attention to results, not words, to the results that are actually occurring in your life, rather than what you say you want. Most people believe you can tell what you're committed to by what you say. For example, we hear leaders say they're committed to build a world-class team, have a great culture, lead their industry in innovation, be a great parent, partner, friend, or leader, get back in shape, have balance in their life. On and on the list goes, telling yourself and everyone else what it is that you want, what you say you're committed to. When we talk to these leaders, they tell us that what they say they want is not what they're actually creating. Their team is not aligned and engaged. Their culture still has toxic sludge. They haven't had the breakthrough innovation they want. They're not living up to their own expectations as a parent, partner, friend, or leader. They're 15 pounds overweight. They are overwhelmed and don't have life balance. Most leaders want to talk to us about how they can get what they say they want, what they say they're committed to. In our experience, having that conversation is not practicing radical responsibility. There is another, more important conversation. Let us explain. This is an iceberg. 1/4 of the iceberg is above the water and 3/4 is below. What's below the water is most significant. The same is true about conscious leadership. What's above the water for a conscious leader is what you say. What's below the water are your results. What is actually occurring? What's above the water is your conscious desire, and what's below the water is your unconscious commitment. Psychology has known for a long time that the unconscious is powerful, really powerful. They have debated how to discover what is in the unconscious. Conscious leaders are willing to take a shortcut to discover their unconscious commitments. They simply look at the results of their lives and own them. So if you hear yourself saying, "I want balance in my life," you're above the water, conscious desire. And what is actually occurring is that you haven't taken time off for 6 months and you're frazzled and burning out. You're below the water, unconscious commitment. You stop believing your words and start owning your results. In practice, this is simply saying to yourself and those around you, "I'm unconsciously committed to not taking time off, being frazzled, and burning out while telling the world I want balance." This is radical responsibility, and it shifts the whole game. You stop complaining and start owning. Now that you have owned your unconscious commitment, you can examine it by asking wonder questions from genuine curiosity like, "How is this pattern familiar? How do you keep this pattern going? What do you get from keeping this pattern going?" We've never met anyone who isn't getting some positive payoff from their unconscious commitments. Another question is, the lifelong pattern you're noticing is, what is the action step I could take to be 100% responsible for this issue? When you and others around you take radical responsibility for your unconscious commitments, you'll create breakthrough insights and solutions that will stop your issues from continuing to recycle. So, what's your hidden iceberg?
Now, if this were a business type of gathering, you'd say, "Boy, I heard this and we're going to start changing." But the truth of it is, we're people who belong to the Lord. And we believe that there is a God who is alive that loves us unconditionally. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, He loves you. If you don't love Him, He loved you before you loved Him. And we believe there is a God who's forgiven us for everything we've ever done. He's not keeping score. He's not holding you to promises that you'll do better next time. He sent His own Son, Jesus, to pay for every sin that you and I would ever commit. The ones you've done in the past,
and the done ones you will do in the future. And we believe that there is a God who will empower you. You're not on your own, bud. You're not on your own to just buck up and do a little better. No, no, no. That is not Christianity. Jesus, I mean, the scripture says, if you will confess, which is basically agree, if you'll say, God, I get it. I need your power to help me. I need to be empowered by you. That if you will take a step, God will take two. If you'll put a drop in the bucket, he'll fill it. But he will not do what we're supposed to do. He's not an enabler. He's not one that's just going to say, oh, well, they didn't. No, no, no. We do reap what we sow. But you're not on your own. There is a loving Savior that will help you. He's already forgiven you. He's already done those things that we could not do for ourselves. So today he will empower you. And it's a matter of asking, Lord, help me. Right where you sit. You don't have to, you can come down front if you want to, but you don't have to do that. God, I need your help. I'm not adding to the solution of the situation, I'm adding to the problem. Lord, by the way I act, by the way I talk, by the way my attitude, Lord, I'm not helping, I'm hurting this deal. Lord, would you help me? It's people who are dependent on Jesus. That's where we're at. And if you will, he will. In a minute, we're going to fill out, take all those little next step cards and put in there, what is God talking to you about? What's your next step? We've kind of restructured the service to, I'm preaching a little earlier in the service so that we will have a time for you to worship, for you to talk to God about what you've just been talked to about. Time of response to God. Say, Lord, here I am. I need your help. I own my part of the deal. Now, Lord, empower me. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people who have patiently listened to me. And now, Lord, who are ready to respond to you with a yes. So, Lord Jesus, I pray as we worship, that you would hear our response in Jesus' strong name. Amen.